The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Robert Morris and his son James discuss the importance of kingdom living.
We pray on earth as it is in heaven. That is the way Jesus taught us to pray. While too many believers walk around with an escapist mentality.
Exactly.
That one day, if I lay low, right. Then I go to heaven. We're not supposed to wait to heaven. We're supposed to bring heaven down to earth. That's what we're to be experiencing.
We keep talking about the kingdom to come rather than the king that has come and the king that's in us. You know, I tell you, I'm really glad to come in your home every day. Betty and Howard, and we've been doing this a long time. You don't know how much we wish we were sitting in your living room. You said, oh, you don't go. God, I'm glad you're not in my living room. I understand. Okay. Our pastor's here, Robert Morris. He's not only a great preacher. He's like one of my kids. Because he says I blessed him when he was 8, signed his Bible. And he came to meet us with his girlfriend, who's now his wife and has been for a long time, Debbie. He was 18, and he went to work for me when he was 20 and began doing the school assemblies in my crusades. And we got close, and I've been an elder in the church since Gateway was birthed, and we're real close. Well, he's got a son here with him. He's got two, Josh and James, and one of them's here. And I want to tell you about him because he's the pastor at Gateway and going to be in place of Robert, but Robert will keep preaching. That won't change. It's just some things will change. And Robert, I love you. I told everybody what they know. You're a great preacher, but I told him you used to sit in this chair as an associate staff member that was overlooked much of the time. But you sat here and you would tell us the things from the Bible. You were the most powerful guest that we ever had sit in that chair. And you were an associate. And then you become the pastor, and you're our pastor. And I did get to have a little encouragement in it. But you have somebody sitting beside you that I thought maybe you might want to introduce to the whole world on television. Who is this?
I'd love to do that. So as you said, we have three grown and married. I can't really say kids.
Awesome people.
Sons and daughters.
Awesome children.
Yeah.
Awesome family.
But this now the son I'm going to introduce will be much better than I. And I actually had a prophetic word that his ministry will exceed mine and yours together. So as you know, he's named after you. So this is my middle child.
What's his name?
My middle child. And his name, full name, is James Robert Morris, and I'm introducing him to the world on your television program.
Well, I am proud of him. James, it's an honor that you're named after me and your dad. What was the prophecy you heard about him named after us?
Okay, so this is like a Bible prophecy. I mean, it's amazing. Debbie and I are lying in bed. We've turned the lights out. We pray every night, and we had prayed, and we're just going to drift off to sleep. And the Lord spoke to me. It's not that audible voice. It's that little impression.
It's louder than out loud.
Yeah, it is. It's louder than out loud, but it's not out loud, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
And the Lord said to me, and I told Debbie, can you get a piece of paper and write this down? So we wrote it down. The Lord said, 1 year from today, 1 year from today, you will have a son. You are to name him James Robert after James Robinson and you. And his ministry will excel your two ministries together, put together.
And by the way, we are grateful because we happen to know how extraordinary the ministries are because we know how ordinary the ministers are. Yeah. And we know that I was the shyest kid on the planet. He was unlikely for many reasons. And we are amazed. I can't believe how he can preach, and nobody's ever been able to believe how I can preach. But the point is that God has done something with us that has amazed everybody. Now, James and I became real good friends, but now he's called to preach, which I didn't really see all this coming. Did you know, and Robert said God told him your ministry, I wasn't sure about it. When did you know that you might preach?
No, I didn't know growing up that that's what I would be doing. And I mean, it wasn't until much later. And so I had a mentor in my life, and he was a businessman. And so I just thought, you know what?
You know him, Steve Doolin.
Steve Doolin.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd heard all these prophetic words, and God spoken to me of all the lives that will be changed, the ministry. So I thought, well, it must just be that I'll do it through business.
Yeah.
I'll start a business, I'll grow a business, and I'll help fund ministries.
And, you did that well.
Yeah. And so that was the path I thought I would do until later I had the opportunity to actually own my own company and everything. And my wife, Bridget, and I, we were praying about it, and we just did not have peace. And we prayed and prayed, and this was the perfect opportunity. God, I don't know if you understand all the details, that maybe you missed out on some of this. It's a great opportunity. And we just never had peace. And so that sent us on a journey of just praying and seeking God. God, what is it that you want me to do? And I went to my dad after that and said, Dad, if I'm not going into ministry, which I feel called to do, only because of the money, then I'm not doing ministry for the wrong reason. And God just completely changed my heart in that season and just revealed to both Bridget and I that I was to be in ministry and the calling. Now, how great or even to be in this role, I didn't foresee all of that, but God just kept revealing it to me in time, so.
You know, when he came to me, I said, well, so you're saying you want to give up owning your own company.
Which was going to be very big and very successful.
Yes, because Steve, Steve gave 50% of his income and retired at 50.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Sure.
And so he was mentoring him since he was 15 years old to own his own company. And by the way, the first thing Steve made him do was memorize 4 scriptures a week. Wow. So that's 200 a year, basically. He did that for 10 years.
Wow.
So we've been on family vacation for, and we've just said to him, hey, James, quote the Bible. And he'll say Old or New Testament. It's just amazing how God was building that in him.
Yeah.
But anyway, when he came to me and said, Dad, I want to be in ministry, I said, so you want to come to work at the church? And he said, yeah. I said, so what would you want to do? And he said, well, either stewardship, because we teach people how to handle their finances, or marriage ministry. We have, Bridget and I have a real heart for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, well, you've only been married 5 years, so you don't know anything about marriage at this point. You know nothing at this point about marriage.
I've learned how accurate he was in that later.
Right. Yeah, now they just celebrated 15 years of marriage.
That's
so
great.
Anyway,
beautiful.
So I said, but you know a lot about managing money. So he came to work in our stewardship department, and then just as one of the 7 stewardship pastors, and then over the whole department, then over 4, then over a whole section of the church, then over half the church, and now he's over all the church. I'm still the senior pastor at this point, but then next year we'll be turning that role over to him as well. But as you said, I'll continue in the pulpit,
and he'll be in the pulpit.
He'll be in the pulpit.
You
as
bring
well.
The greatest preachers in the world to Gateway when he's not there, and we have plenty of great people on staff. But okay, now this thing, when you started knowing, you said God told you you would pastor as the lead pastor 25 years. I didn't even know all of this. You didn't just sit privately. I began to hear you tell the whole church. Tell our viewers.
Yeah, well, when I was in the prayer center at Shady Grove Church, an associate pastor, and I just felt like the Lord spoke to me Gateway, gave me scriptures, but I believe he said, I want you to pastor the church 25 years. Well, I was 38 when I started, so I'll be 63 when I turn it completely over to him. And I really believe it's because God is a generational God.
But it doesn't mean you're leaving the church.
No, I'm not leaving at all. No,
I'm
we won't let him do that.
No. I'm still in the pulpit. I'll still be helping with helping other pastors, leaders. Like, you do a lot of helping leaders. Sure. I know that. Okay. So, but God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He identifies himself as that. That's actually one of his names. It's El Shaddai, it's Yahweh. It's the Lord that provides, the Lord that heals, the Lord your peace. I know all that. But he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so I feel like that we have to turn it over to the Isaacs, the next generation. I feel like some pastors hold on to it so long, then they turn it to a Jacob. Well, what happens to the Isaac generation?
That's very interesting and amazing.
So I can still preach, I can still teach, do all that.
And by the way, that message to him so clearly, every message in the Bible, the message to walk around your enemy seven times for 7 days and then do certain things, the walls, well, that's a message to one person. You can apply it, you can put it out of fleece, but he didn't tell everybody to. Mm-hmm. That may not be God's message to you, it's God's message to him.
That's exactly right, yeah. And so anyway, I talked to the elders about it, and I said, I'm nominating him as my successor, but now I'm out of it. I'm recusing myself, and you men have to interview him. You need to interview you and your wife, have to interview him and Bridget. Then let's bring in consultants. Let's bring in our apostolic elders. You and Betty came in. Here's the thing, all the consultants, all the elders, all the apostolic elders, including yourself, said 100%, this is the man that's to follow you.
Okay, so you see what's coming here. James, has God said anything to you about where you think the church is going? I've been talking really to both of you about God's will is for his will to be done on his earth through his family, his body, the body of Christ, the church, not mm-hmm. churches. The church meets in churches, but the church is his body.
I agree.
And his family. And we've never made that clear. Even the disciples didn't get it. They were still talking about the next kingdom. We've now been talking that if the kingdom message captures people, it captured the disciples. They couldn't explain it, but they experienced it in the upper room. They came out of the upper room and expressed it. That's what he left them here for. At the end of Acts, they still couldn't explain it, and Paul spent 2 more years explaining it. And we've been talking, I don't think the church has got it or been gotten by it. The kingdom of God being done on earth through his family. And here's the thing I want everybody to hear, and these two guys, here's the thing. This guy, if he preaches it, it's going to make every other thing he's ever preached and ever written look like it didn't even appear. And that is the understanding of fulfilling God's dream on his earth by his family, the church, which means that we lose our life in Christ's purpose to find it. We find it in all of its fullness and all of its fruitfulness only when we lose it in him. What is it we're losing it in? This is where we miss it. He came to fulfill kingdom purpose, which is why he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. He said it is at hand. It's standing in front of you. Then he said, it's in you. Mm-hmm. It's the kingdom's in you. Then he said, now it's in you in resurrection power. Mm-hmm. They still didn't get it. And he spends 40 more days explaining it to them after the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Then they still didn't get it. They said, now are you going to set up the kingdom? The kingdom where we don't walk on any scorpions, we don't conquer anybody, we don't overcome, we're not more than overcomers, we're not taking authority over the principalities and powers, because they're not any in the next kingdom. There are no serpents. Right. There are no deceivers. There's nothing to conquer. So where is the Father's dream going to happen?
Yes.
In this kingdom, on his earth, his will being done through his family. And you know what? As I've shared this, everybody, it gets them. They say, mm-hmm. my God, how can we wish a owner of a sports team dream be fulfilled and not wish the Father's dream be fulfilled? Yeah. No owner of a sports team wishes for a new victory. A coach doesn't wish for some victories. They want the championship. You think he wants less than his will being done? And I not only say, you get it, it's getting you. Mm-hmm. But here's what I believe, and I just think you're just sitting here looking at it. I don't think anybody will teach any better than him, but he's liable at his age with the new generation. He's liable to help resurrect the younger generation, Robert, which you said God made you see is important. And I think we could see the church wake up and the greatest awakening in history. And I think it can happen faster than people could imagine. Do you believe that?
I agree totally. As a matter of fact, I believe it so strongly that we are focusing all of our efforts. This next generation is going to be powerful. Yes. Satan is lying to us. Even you are rescuing people, girls and boys, but especially girls. So Satan is trying to take them captive. Yep. But God has a plan for them.
Yes.
We're going to rescue
them. That's exactly right.
And they're going to turn around, like you said.
That's right.
Some of them have become mayors and leaders and professors, and one a governor. They are going to turn around and become the leaders.
Literally,
they're going to stand on our shoulders. They're not going to start all over again. They're going to stand on our shoulders and reach
people. We're going to have a greater awakening than the birth and the move that birthed this nation. That is what this book that we've just written and released is, 19 chapters of the principles that controlled our founders and led to the birth of this nation and the greatness of everything that's moved, those principles in place. Get it? We're sending it to you. You put God's arms around others. When I shared with you the kingdom message, I could tell it was getting you. When your dad talked this morning, he called me right back. He don't have to wonder. It's got him.
Yeah.
Robert, I've asked God to reveal to you more clearly than He's ever let you teach anything. And the Blessed Life changed people all over the world, millions of people. If the kingdom of God and the truth of that message that's been so difficult from Genesis to Revelation to get, we keep talking about the kingdom to come rather than the kingdom that has come and the kingdom that's in us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. He taught us to pray that. He wants to see that prayer answered. That's the Father's dream. I believe that has captured you. I think you can teach it more clearly than anybody. Have I not told you since Gateway was birthed, it's going to be a great church, but Gateway is to inspire the church to be the great church God wants. Have I said that since the church started?
Absolutely, you have. Yeah.
Never stop.
Yeah.
Do you believe, because I know I've said it to you, do you believe that's what God wants to do? If He uses Gateway to fulfill His vision for Gateway, Gateway is going to help get the church to fulfill His vision. Do you bear witness with that?
Absolutely do. And you asked about the vision. The vision of Gateway is not changing. Well, it's time to multiply. It's time to multiply the vision, and so that's what we're going to do. And you talked about we pray on earth as it is in heaven. That is the way Jesus taught us to pray. Well, too many believers walk around with an escapist mentality.
Exactly.
That one day, if I lay low, then I go to heaven. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to wait to heaven. We're supposed to bring heaven down to earth.
And
that's what we're
to
be experiencing.
And we can, and that's what every great thing at Gateway is, a kingdom expression.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize the power of that and the importance of it, and we've not taught the church to make that kingdom impact. And everything we've seen that's kingdom impact at Gateway, we can multiply that beyond anything we even ever imagined or we've ever witnessed in the history since creation. I mean, beyond anything they even saw in the book of Acts. We're supposed to do great. Jesus said, you do greater things than I did, for heaven's sake. Let's get on with it. Father, thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy will be done on your earth as it is in heaven. We're not waiting to go to heaven. Heaven's in us.
Yeah.
We bring the kingdom of heaven here in power. It's in us. We make a kingdom impact on planet Earth and see your dream fulfilled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You see these three preachers and this girl here, and she outpreaches all of us without opening her mouth. I mean, she glows glory, okay? James's wife is sitting out here, Bridget. She's sitting out here. And I'm going to tell you something, Bridget. I've already told the Morrises here, these preacher boys, preacher guys, these girls are better than you. So the people will get to know that. Listen to me. We love you. You make this program possible. You make all the ministries of life possible. And we're asking you right now to put God's arms around some girls that have been trafficked, been put in bondage and sexual slavery, and we can set them free. Would you do that? I'm going to send you the book. The truths in it can use us together to save the future of freedom here and around the world. Yes, it can. It's more simple than you imagine. Let me help you. Would you help us help those girls be set free? Watch closely, and then you respond as God leads.
From the bright lights to the brothels, on any given night all around the world, there are millions of young girls who thought they were going to work in a legitimate job only to find themselves in a situation just like Kim, where their lives were turned upside down by sex traffickers. And that's where Life Outreach's partners step in to rescue girls who have been forced into prostitution by human traffickers.
Whenever we're able to arrest a trafficker, it's a huge win, because not only does it mean that place is shut down, but that might mean that tens or maybe even hundreds of girls won't be trafficked because of that.
SWAT raids are just one of the means our mission partners use to rescue girls. Others will reach out one-on-one and befriend girls who feel trapped in the world of sex trafficking. Once girls are taken into our mission partners' safe houses, their lives are forever changed.
I want to see them to have a safe place to stay. I want them to have people in their life who they can trust. And I want them to keep fighting for a better future and fighting for the goal that they have in life. And I want to see them still living with hope, because I believe that when they come here, it's not an accident. God plans for them, and His plan always for good.
Betty, a moment ago, when we saw those girls in the beds, crawling out one of the beds, as so many watch our grandchildren grow up. Not long ago, they were there. You know, we got all the great-grandkids coming up. Didn't it break your heart to see those precious girls being used as an instrument of evil and self-gratification?
It really does. And you, the trusting soul of a precious little one. Someone offers you help or food, something to drink. These little children, they're going to accept it. And then they take them under false pretenses. They feed them. And in their food, they have drugged them. And then when they wake up, they're being raped and abused and just all kinds of horrible things happening to them. I just can't even imagine. It breaks my heart. And I know if you're watching, it must you too. Because you have children maybe, you have grandchildren, you have those that you love so much. Let's please reach out and help these little ones. They don't have a chance if someone doesn't care about them. And God tells us we're to care about the little children and love them because He does. So help us, won't you?
It's breaking my heart to think that men can be so twisted that they would want to use one of those little girls. And 747s go, more of them from the U.S. than any nation, to sex capitals of the world. And here's the sad thing. Many of them are stirred to that extreme sexual appetite by exposure to pornography. And now then, many of them are exposed to that pornography by the greatest free nation in the world and the greatest producer of pornography in the world, the United States. And we're causing the men to have appetites out of control that puts them where they would use those precious little girls, and then where the people would sell them and tell them that they're going to give them a job, and they've never had a job, and they've never had money, and they've never had opportunity, and then they not only use them, and like the little girl woke up and she's being raped, and then they get them on drugs, and they will hold them there. If they can hold them for 20 or 30 years, they will, until they've just worn them out and destroyed them. And we're setting them free. And you are building the greatest rescue houses on the planet. And you're changing lives. And many of the little girls we started helping years ago are now leaders in their communities. They're teachers, they're professors. There are one or two of them that are mayors. And I heard one of them was a governor that came through the sex trafficking that God's love through you rescued. I am asking you right now to go get your bank card and use it like a check. You should always use them that way, but use it like a check. Dial the number or go online. Do it, please. Go get it. And would you rescue a girl? Would you make a $128 gift that will be double now, and you won't rescue one but two? And I always ask everybody to expand their vision. Is there any way you could rescue 10 with a $1,280 gift? And know right now, you'll be rescuing 20. Please, God, please, whatever you can do, we have gifts to send you that will be a blessing to you. I'm going to send you a book, Fight the Good Fight, 12 years in the effort with Jay Richards together. You will be blessed. Would you please right now get that card, if you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. We've got to know you're going to help. Thank you so much.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the brand new book from James Robison and Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. This book will open your eyes to what's at stake and the unwavering truth that God isn't finished with our nation. It's time to fight the good fight and return to unshakable biblical principles. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the NIV Large Print Thin Line Bible. This easy-to-carry, easy-to-read NIV Bible with comfort print allows you to take in more of God's Word each time you open your Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, I want to thank you, and I got to tell you, this is one of the most important weeks we've ever had on television. I've been on television 55 years. Betty's been sitting by me for over 30 years. And we've been calling the family into the family room to get to, help, to know the Father. And let me tell you something, everything shifted. We're getting to know the Father faster, but now we're going to do His will more fully. We'll send you Fight the Good Fight. I want you to read it immediately, and then I want us to put it, let's get in the hands of everybody that loves freedom, everybody in America. You tell everybody about these programs, okay? Tell them to check out Gateway. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Been a joy. Thank you. You've been such a blessing.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
The forces that are attacking the family have continued.
Jay Richards encourages us to unite with other truth seekers to fight the good fight tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.